The choir. This is what I always miss if I'm outside and preaching somewhere in other churches. So thank you for your ministry all these years, and God bless you as you sing for the Lord. In line with the emphasis this month, that's Christian education, the message that I have prepared to share with you today is found in the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament prophets. That's a minor prophet. We call it minor in a sense compared to the word major because of the volume of their prophecies. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, those minor prophets, they are much shorter compared with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all of those, Isaiah. They are much longer in their prophecies. So they are called minor. So it's found here in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. The prophet Hosea, who lived sometime 8th century before Christ, and who prophesied and ministered in the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, we call that, compared to the southern kingdom down in Judah, the years 722 BC up to 753 BC up to 722 BC. So that's the span of years that he ministered. He prophesied and he worked as a prophet in the kingdom of Israel. So here in this passage that we have just read, as a matter of fact, the entire chapter, chapter 4, Hosea addresses himself in this passage to both priests and people, but chiefly, mainly, to the priests, whom he regards as mainly responsible for the people's sinfulness. Israel at the time was drifted away from God because of apostasy, falling away from believing God. They turned their backs from serving and believing in Jehovah God, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So priests and people alike, because the entire kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, fell into apostasy. They turned their backs from worshiping God. So priests and the people alike, in the rejection of the knowledge of God. Considering the context here, the background, let's just concentrate on verse 6, and we'll revolve our discussion on verse 6. And it reads, verse 6, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will ignore your children." There are three important things I'd like to consider with you here, based on this verse alone. Number one, Jehovah God here is putting up a case against the people of Israel, starting from the religious leaders, the priests, the prophets, and then the people as a whole. Jehovah God said, "The lack of knowledge is in you as a kingdom." Israel possessed this knowledge of God once, meaning they used to have this knowledge. Now they don't have the possession of this knowledge. There was little, slim, right knowledge about God at the time of Hosea's ministry. That's why God used Hosea to warn the people of Israel, starting from the leaders, political leaders, and also the religious leaders. They lacked the knowledge of God. If ever they had the knowledge, it was so nil, so little about God. They didn't really know who God was. The character of God, all-powerful, all-loving, a God with whom nothing is impossible, all-knowing, merciful. His love is unconditional. We call that the steadfast love of God. So about God, they were spiritually ignorant. If ever there were people who knew God, it was just so little knowledge about Him. That's why little knowledge of God resulted to irreverence of God. God to many people is just a curse word. God to many people is just an obscene statement for them. Every time they talk, they bring up the idea of God, but on a negative and very bad terms. There was irreligion. So much irreligion, meaning people were not interested in worshiping God anymore in the temple. The temple was neglected. Things about God was not really that exciting to many people. And they don't believe, many of them, substantially about what you are talking about from God's word. So, a little right knowledge of God's character. And more so, there was a little right knowledge of God's law. Not only the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, but the law of God is generally mean. It means generally the law of God, the statutes and the revelations of God written in the Scriptures. It's the Hebrew Scriptures, starting from the Torah, the Pentateuch, up to the writings and the prophesyings of the prophets. So the people had so little knowledge about the Word of God. God's laws were what? Were discarded. Many turned into lawlessness. Of course, without God's law, people would make a law for themselves. Everyone to himself. And there was no regard of God's absolute standard of morality at all. Wow, it's a dark picture presented to us right here in the book of Hosea. Irreligion, irreverence of God, lawlessness. And of course, if people are lawless, life is no longer so significant or so precious. Life to them is cheap. They live as if they were animals. No sacredness of life, no sanctity of life. That's the picture during those days. That's why there was bloodshed all over the land. It was easy to kill one another. Crimes skyrocketed. No regard, no fear of God. We call that the wanton killing of fellow men. And then little knowledge not only of God, God's character, little knowledge not only of the law of God, but of course, they had little knowledge of God's past gracious dealings. In other words, the younger generation during those days, Hosea's days, they forgot completely the marvelous and miraculous workings and dealings of God, the miracles that He demonstrated in the crossing of the Red Sea. That's entirely foreign to them anymore. The younger generation during Hosea's time couldn't even recall about it. It didn't enter even their minds, their thoughts. How God fed the people on their journey from Egypt. Go bound for Canaan, the promised land. How when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God fed them with manna. Almost 2 million of those people were fed every day by God Himself. and the quails would rain from all sides, blown by the wind, and amazingly, in a miraculous way, God provided their needs. All of those miraculous interventions of God, and the providence and the guidance of God on their journeys, how the water gushed out of the rock. Remember that? All of those were foreign, entirely foreign to the young generation. They forgot the past gracious dealings of God with their forefathers. Isn't this exactly the similarly striking to the situation today? You're in Canada. You're in the United States of America. In the world today, even in the Philippines nowadays, the tendency is for the younger generation Christians, believers like you and me, getting more irreligious, getting more lawless and disobedient to the laws of God, and more forgetful of the goodness of God to their ancestors, to their parents. Even here in Canada, we could see it. The second generation, the younger generation, how their parents came here and they suffered starting a hard life as immigrants. And now the second generation, their problem is how, which of the cereal they would eat in the morning. Because there are many boxes there standing before them. Not like during our times. There was only one. You had no choice but to eat, or else you will starve. Brothers and sisters, this is a dark picture, spiritual portrayal of Israel. And Hosea is putting that before us. The result was, there was a spiritual and moral decadence. And it was so disastrous for the land, because God is not only a God of mercy and grace. When God's mercy and grace wears out, He would give you time and time and time and time again to repent. But if you harden your heart and you keep adamant and resisting the will of God and His grace, then God will give you up and He will judge you. And that was the result. That really happened during the time of Hosea. So right ideas of God, His holiness and moral demands hardly penetrated the minds of the people during those times. For the simple reason, they were so saturated and soaked with lying, stealing, adultery, and all of the sexual immoralities, and more so, drunkenness. How could you teach a drunk person? A dead drunk person could never absorb the truth that you are teaching him. It's difficult. He's got to be sober first in order to accept the teachings of God. Isn't this true today? Multi-billion industry. Alcohol. Alcoholism. That's what's happening today. You see, history repeats itself. That's the English proverb. And nothing new. This dark, ugly picture is so similar to Canada today, where we live, our home, an adopted land. So similar, very strikingly the same. What dense ignorance of God and divine things in our land. Supposed to be the land of Bibles. Canada. the confederation, the dominion, was founded on the principles of the supremacy of God and the rule of law. That's the preamble of the Canadian Constitution. But where is the rule of God now in Canada? Where is the rule of law and the supremacy of God? Getting to be fading away. Irreligion, lawlessness, immorality, sexual perversion, drunkenness, secularism, and many already of the Canadians, especially the younger ones, don't believe in God. It's sad. That's number one, the lack of knowledge. Number two, the causes of the lack of knowledge. Why did this happen to the kingdom of Israel, to the descendants of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac? Why did this happen? Did God fail the Israelites? No. We know from the scriptures very explicitly, God gave Israel the law in the first place. God already had provided ways whereby the Israelites would continue well and good from the start up to the finish. Why did they fail along the way? Hosea 8:12, I believe, is the good answer for this. It reads, I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something foreign. It's so, shall we say, discouraging. It's so depressing to think about this, and also scary. They used to be the people of God. They used to be the people of the law, the people of the book, the Hebrew scriptures. But the Hebrew scriptures to them now, during the time of Hosea, seem to be something foreign. They don't know about it. God laid upon the Levites the duty of teaching and promoting the knowledge of its requirements. God gave them the book. God revealed to them the Ten Commandments and many of the prophecies of the prophets, raised up prophets, raised up the Levites and the priests for one very important sole responsibility. What is that? To teach, to train, to mentor, to instruct, to guide and direct people, not only by their teachings, but also by their examples. So God provided the book. God provided the statutes. God provided the laws, the ordinances, and God provided the ministers, the teachers. But what happened? The teachers discarded and rejected the laws themselves and the book. Deuteronomy 33:10 reads, He teaches your precepts to Jacob, that's to Israel, and your law to Israel. But they stopped. They started well, but they failed, and failed miserably along the line, along the way. He had laid the same duty on parents, not only the priests, not only the Levites, not only the prophets, but also he laid the responsibility to parents to teach their children. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you without having fear of political incorrectness. It's not the responsibility of the public schools, nor the private schools, even Christian schools, to educate your children. It's not their main responsibility. The main responsibility, according to God, is for mom and dad to educate their children. They just supplement. they just help. But don't ever think that I am here to work and work and work. I have no time to teach my children. They go to public schools. They go to Christian schools anyway. That's not what God meant. He says here in Deuteronomy 6:6-9, He had laid the same duty on parents, yes, and I read, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. That's for the parents. That's a context. This is God's direct teaching and command to the parents. I give you today are to be on your hearts. Take heart of this. Take it seriously. Impress them on your children, your parents. Talk about them. About what? The teachings of God given to you. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your hands and bind them on your foreheads, the phylacteries. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This simply means that the Word of God will be the center stage, the center and the circumference, the front and center, the very core of your day-by-day living. Whatever you do, as parents, as a family, whether you work or you are playing, having time with your parents, the Word of God should always be included in those meetings, in those conversations. That's what it means here. When you lie down, when you sleep, when you eat, it's all here. Meaning the entirety of your life, whatever you do, it's right there revolving around the Word of God. So the question, how then came the knowledge of God to be lost? Simply because the priests, the prophets, the Levites didn't teach faithfully. Simply because mom and dad didn't teach the children faithfully. And they didn't show good examples. Maybe they're good in teaching, but they are doing the opposite. You already hear this common line we hear in teaching. Do what I say, but don't follow what I do. And that's exactly the end result of this nation of Israel falling into apostasy. And sadly, they had lacked the knowledge of God. The priests failed in teaching. Malachi 2:7-8, for the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge. That is supposed to be. Because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and the people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. That's why it's not a joke. It's not a life thing for me as a pastor, and for all those who preach, pastors, and for all those who teach in Sunday school, and for all those who facilitate the Bible study groups. We have a very serious and solemn responsibility. And God will hold us accountable for how we conduct or carry on our responsibility. Not only as priests, as leaders, as pastors, or religious leaders and teachers, but the people also failed in remembering simply because the parents failed to teach their children and raise them up in the disciplines and instructions of God's Word. This is no light thing. And God is seriously putting up this what? This case against the people. The picture here is about a court trial. The plaintiff here is God Himself. And the accused are the priests, the prophets, the Levites, and the parents, the people of Israel. And of course, God put up evidences, and they were dumbfounded. They had nothing to contradict nor to refute the evidences God has put up here. The people had forgotten the law of their God. They should have preserved, that's what God expected of them. They should have preserved the knowledge they had in handing it down. I like this. Handing it down by careful parental instruction. We parents must be very careful to see, we've got to see to it that God demands each one of us to do this. Carefully hand down, meaning pass the torch, pass the baton to your children, the truth of God's Word. Don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on to your children. You know what will happen if your children, the younger generation, would be deprived of the Word of God. If you and I will be neglectful, and then we don't carry on faithfully the passing on, the teaching of God's Word to our children, of course, our children will grow being ignorant of God, being irreligious, being lawless, being disobedient to God. Psalm 78:1-4, I read, and this is good for parents. I like to highlight this. Please read this again and again. When you shall have come home, okay? Not now. Okay, because you will not listen to me. Please read this. Very important. Highlight this or write this, because very important instruction of God for you and for me as parents and as grandparents. It reads, Psalm 78:1-4. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. This is what parents like you and me, or grandparents, should do to our children and to our grandchildren. We will never hide from them, our children and grandchildren, the goodness of God, our experience, how God saved us, how God miraculously healed us, how God wonderfully provided our needs and kept us in serving Him. All the good things from God will never hide. If you do that, you will stop the chain of blessings from God to you. And then the children will be deprived. And what will turn out of them? The next generation will be biblically illiterate, believe me. They will be ignorant about who God is. If ever they believe in God, that's the God of their own ideas and minds. That's the God that the philosophers outside who are atheists would tell them. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how serious is this responsibility. I like you to be serious. If you are serious now, be more serious. If you are not serious, start to be serious about this responsibility. It's so heartbreaking many times that even great Christian leaders having their children turn to be ignorant of the Word of God. Of course, there's a leeway there. We understand some as they have reached the age of accountability, meaning they are already adult. They think for themselves and they personally, by their own choice, rejected God. It's not your responsibility anymore. God understands that. But what if they will accuse you? My mom and dad didn't tell me this. My mom and dad didn't really bring us up this way. That's why we are in this mess. Wow. You will be required of their blood in your hands. Believe me. So it's serious. Thank God. Modesty aside, as I mentioned early this morning, I had grown up in a family where my father would tell story after story. He was a great storyteller. My mom would tell and teach us from the Word of God, whatever he knew. Oh, my mom's pet subject in the Bible, her favorite is prophecy. Every time she would talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, I would tremble. And I could not sleep that night because Jesus might come again. Wow! It was a privilege to grow up in that kind of family where parents would tell you about the goodness of God. How my dad would tell us about how he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As a junior kid, forced by the father who was a farmer to tend for the carabaos, the buffaloes, water buffaloes, the carabaos. And he would ride on the carabao, 10 years old, tending those animals. He came to know Jesus Christ through a missionary, Presbyterian missionary from the United States of America, one of the early pioneers of missions in Panay Islands, Philippines. So through that, it gave us an idea who God is and how it is to be saved. My mom would tell us how God would provide our needs. Oh, we were 11 in the family. How could you feed 11 young, hungry mouths? My father was just a pioneer, small town preacher, and no fixed salary. Meager salary. How could you feed? And the people would laugh. Oh, you can never educate. Send your children to school. True. But how in the world were we all educated? How God taught us in early age through our parents how to trust God, because God is the Jehovah Jireh. We know, I knew that already when I was a kid. It's very important to pass on the miraculous interventions and workings and dealings of God in our lives, or else others will teach your children wrong things. Lastly, the fatal effects of this lack of knowledge. Because of lack of knowledge or little wrong knowledge of who God is, the rejection of the law of God and all of those, people fell into apostasy and turned their backs from God, worshiping idols, idols of the pagan neighbor countries. The people were destroyed. And destruction here is not only physical. Destruction here doesn't only refer to political invasion of King Sennacherib of Assyria and ransacked Israel, 722 BC. No, it's not the only one referred to here. destruction of families, destruction of marriage, destruction of lives of young people and children, and destruction of their souls, spiritual destruction. How many of our children today are out in this world, living for Satan and the cause of the devil out in this world? They grew up in a Christian homes. How come they are out there and not here with God? They could have been actively involved here in the ministry of God's kingdom, in carrying out God's cause and God's agenda until Jesus comes again. How in the world that they are out there and they are not here? That's the effect of lack of knowledge, of disobedience. Ezekiel 3, 17 to 21. Ezekiel here gives us the idea that you and I are likened to watchmen or guards people. We are security guards. We are rangers. Our task as watchmen is to warn, to teach, to guide, and to show the way. God will hold us accountable for the blood of our children if we don't pass the knowledge of God and His word and His laws to them. God will be harsh. He will require the blood of our children from our hands. God rejected those who had rejected Him. The priest, God said, because you are unfaithful and you're apostates, you reject me, you're only for money, because of your greed, because of your covetousness, because of your licentiousness, God said, from now on, your children will no longer be priests. You are disrobed. You are no longer priests, and your children will no longer be priests, counted from the Levitical priesthood line. No more. The church will also be disciplined by God if the church will renege, will be disobedient in educating our children, in instilling the laws of God in the hearts and minds of the younger generation. Revelation 2:5, the church in Ephesus, God judge the church. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What does it mean? Your faithfulness, your witness, your usefulness, your influence, I will take that away and you will be rubbish. So many churches today are already closed. They closed business. United Church of Canada closes churches every year, at least 100 churches per year, very fast. There's an exodus of membership from the church because they don't believe in the Bible anymore. The leadership don't believe. The president, the chairman, a few years back declared, I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the atoning blood of Jesus, that the blood alone can forgive and cleanse us from all of our sins. They don't believe the Bible as the Word of God. As a matter of fact, last Friday, the Toronto Star report there, in the front page, the minister for a long time, a very influential leader of the United Church of Canada, Reverend Greta Vosper, the minister of United of the Hill, Westminster Hill United Church in Scarborough. She was defrocked simply because all these years she declares to be an atheist. I don't believe in God. but she's the minister. How in the world did she become a minister? The minister of God, a person who doesn't believe in God. An atheist. And I thank God. I went home, you know. I was jealous. I said, Lord, you are just. Thank God that the leaders, the committee of 21 of the church, the denomination, declared 19 of them, of 21, you are no longer a minister. She was defrocked. If you have a kind of ministers or pastors like this, because all over the world today, if you will survey, good number of denominations anymore don't believe that Jesus is God who became man. They don't believe the Bible as the word of God. That Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. All of this. So what kind of people like this teaching and the influence they insert upon the minds of the younger ones who are listening to them? So, right here, God disciplined them. I don't like this to happen at First Filipino Baptist Church. We have started on the Word of God, and until Jesus comes again, we should teach faithfully the Word of God, in spite of pressures and maybe threats around us, because there are legislations today that are slowly, slowly clamping down on the freedom to teach the Word of God. If you stand today and you're against same-sex marriage, you are blacklisted. So, it's time for us to be serious about this, or else the younger generation, our children, will turn to be biblically illiterate and spiritually ignorant about God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, put your hand of blessing upon us. Even as we think about this, help us, Lord, by your grace, to be serious in our business of educating our children with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.